My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate. Hollywood performers have suspended their strike. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. SAG-AFTRA, the union representing film, TV, and streaming performers, and the Alliance of Studios and Producers, reached a tentative contract deal last night. Details this morning still scarce, but there's celebration on both sides. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us from Los Angeles with more.
Yeah, they're celebrating indeed, and that's because this has been a very long strike, David, nearly 4 months for the actors. Both the union and the Alliance of Studios indicated that there should be a lot in the tentative deal for actors to like, but we won't get details of them, of the deal, until Friday. All we know right now is that there's a boost to pay minimums, and on the two most contentious issues, streaming and artificial intelligence, actors appear to have made some gains. I spoke this morning with Abraham Ravid. He's a professor at Yeshiva University. He's done a lot of research on the economics of the entertainment industry, and he's also looking to see the details of the AI and streaming elements of the deal.
I would be very interested to see the details of the AI contract. It will be important for other industries. And in terms of the streaming, I assume they will come up with more or less the same thing they did for the writers, which is some sort of bonus for streaming beyond a certain level.
So, Nova, it's not like flipping a switch. Off goes the strike and on goes the content machine spitting out shows.
That's right. Yeah, if only it was that easy. This is going to take some time. Actors must still vote to ratify the deal. Now, the writers have been back writing for about a month now since they ended their strike, so productions will restart as scripts come in, but this isn't going to all happen at once. Also, there's likely going to be some casualties, David. The industry has already lost billions of dollars. Yesterday, Warner Brothers Discovery said it expects a strike impact of hundreds of millions of dollars this year, so studios are going to cut back. We'll have to see which shows and projects survive and which don't.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo in Los Angeles. Many Marketplace employees are represented by the same union, SAG-AFTRA, but under a different contract and were not on strike. As the number of people going back into work versus staying home rose in 2022, so did the number of workers getting hurt or sick on the job. New data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics find 2.8 million workplace injuries and illnesses were voluntarily reported by employers last year. And as Marketplace's Henry Epp reports, that number is likely an undercount.
Not everyone who's injured on the job reports it to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA. Some may be gig workers quickly moving to a new workplace. Others may have different reasons, says Marissa Baker, an associate professor at the University of Washington.
Folks fear retaliation. They don't recognize their injury as being caused by work.
Among the injuries that are counted, many are in warehousing, says Debbie Berkowitz, a fellow at Georgetown and former OSHA chief of staff. Those jobs often require a lot of repetitive motions that can lead to injuries
to your back, to your upper extremities, your wrist and your shoulder and your elbow.
OSHA has begun to crack down on warehousing companies, especially Amazon this year, citing the company for violations at least 6 times. And starting in March, the agency will require many firms to report more injury information.
They used to just have to submit their summary of how many injuries and illnesses they had, and now they'll have to submit their detailed records.
Which she says could expose companies who've been underreporting. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
America's central bankers were raising interest rates to quell inflation, right? Then recently they noticed that the market was also driving interest rates higher, and these policymakers started figuring maybe the bond market might do some of the work for the Fed. Yet it is a fluid situation, these markets. For help, let's turn to Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
The Fed actually put in their statement that they'd be watching financial market conditions actually very closely as they assess what they needed to do next when they paused again at their November meeting. The irony is more financial market conditions, and particularly the bond market, treasury bond yields come down. That actually could undo some of the tightening they see in the market and increase the need for them to do more tightening later on. We have to remember, too, financial market conditions feed through on everything from mortgage rates to corporate and municipal bond yields, and they can go in both directions.
Yeah, speaking of mortgages, the 30-year mortgage rate fell by the most in 16 months. And that, of course, fuels people to buy and sell. That creates economic activity. And the Fed is a little worried about too much economic activity.
Exactly. So here we had this bucket of cold ice thrown on the mortgage winter. And then the minute we had that Fed meeting where the Fed paused, all of a sudden they came down again. And this is exactly the dilemma the Fed is dealing with now.
Economist Diane Swonk. There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The French government is hosting a conference in Paris now on getting more humanitarian aid into Gaza. The UN's World Food Program has warned over a million people are going hungry as food and water supplies run short. Israel's bombardment began about a month ago after Hamas fighters killed 1,400 people in Israel and took hostages. The Hamas-controlled health ministry in Gaza says more than 10,000 people have died in the war. Today, hear a focus on the food supply. The UN says Israeli airstrikes have hit, for instance, bakeries in Gaza, while many bakeries that remain lack fuel and flour. BBC Arabic's Adnan Al-Bursh has gathered this material from a bakery in Khan Yunis, southern Gaza, struggling to keep up with demand for bread. Here's the BBC producer James Graham.
Long lines and frustrated families. These scenes are an everyday sight outside Gaza's bakeries.
I spend 4 or 5 hours and at the end only get one portion of bread. I have 30 people to provide for. How is one portion enough for them all? We're living on one meal a day now.
The United Nations says it's now common for people to wait for hours, and even then there's no guarantee there'll be bread. Bakers work around the clock, mostly with flour supplied by the UN. Non-governmental organisations also help where they can. But with so many people being told to move to South Gaza, the pressure here is getting worse.
The amount we produce is not even enough for a third of the people who need it. But we are producing an enormous amount in comparison to our usual work in normal times.
Abia Itefa is from the UN World Food Programme.
Bread is the last staple food option for people in Gaza. And most of the supplies are gone, especially that also there is no fuel. 50% of homes in Gaza have been destroyed. So people don't have access to cooking facilities. If you give them a box of, you know, pasta or, you know, dry food rations, they'll not be able to cook it.
Bread plays a vital role in feeding Gaza's hungry population. It's the most filling and the cheapest option, so bakeries are a lifeline. But with the bombardment continuing across the Gaza Strip, the lines outside the remaining bakeries are only likely to increase. I'm the BBC's James Graham for Marketplace.
The G7, a club of wealthier industrial nations, issued a statement Wednesday condemning Hamas and supporting Israel's right to self-defense. But the group also called for the unimpeded delivery of food, water, medicine, and fuel, and for humanitarian pauses in the fighting. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.